Well, we'll get into a little Bible study here today. We're going to look at a few things. Well, I know, look at a few things here to hopefully help you out. Linda, don't be picking on people now. Or Helen, sorry. All right. Okay, so when you start reading the Bible, things can get really confusing. They can look really confusing. And that's why a lot of people say, well, you know, I don't believe that book because it's a little confusing here, confusing there. I don't understand it. There's a verse here that God gives us, and it's in 2 Timothy 2:15. If you have a Bible there, you need one over. Do you have one at home? Okay. You have a King James Bible? All right.
Because I'm really strict about that.
All right. Because we have Bibles here. Do you both have one?
Well, she has one. I don't.
Well, I'll tell you what. Let me get you a Bible. We'll get you hooked up with the Bible. And we get large print because I can't see very well.
I'm starting to learn as I get older, everything starts to fail.
Yeah, when you get to be 40, it's like playing a trumpet when you're trying to read it.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Maybe, just write your name on that top line in there. I got dedicated from Gateway Baptist Church, some Bible verses in there to help you out. But here's what I want to look at. Let's see here. Bear with me. Second Timothy, Now, 2 Timothy 2:15 is a very important verse. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:15, "Study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And a lot of times where it seems confusing, rightly dividing straightens that out. So we're looking at the Bible, and we're looking at church age salvation, and people get saved, and people are sealed. You say, well, I'm sealed, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, and I can't lose my salvation. Well, then you look at another part, and it looks like somebody can lose their salvation because it's not talking to the church, it's talking to somebody else. So you got to see who's talking, who they're talking to, and what they're saying. And what, you know, there's a thing called dispensations. And we've been talking about that a little bit before. We'll talk about that today again. And what we have here is a timeline from the beginning of time to eternity. We'll call this eternity. I'll write eternity in blue over here. I like that. So we got a timeline going over from the beginning. Let's use green. In the beginning, everything was green and blue, and everything was right. If I spell something wrong, it's because I spell it wrong. In the beginning. So here we have Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, in the beginning. On into eternity. So what we have to do is we have to try to figure out how the Bible fits in between those two times. When we're looking at things, what we're looking at. So we've got creation here, beginning. And somewhere in here we have Adam and Eve's sin, and there's the fall of man. And over here, we got a guy named Abraham shows up. He's an important character. Then a guy named Moses shows up. And God gives Moses the Old Testament law. By the way, if you here's a basic chart of what we're having, what we're studying right now. Do you, anybody else need one? Good. And are there pens in the pew there or something to write with? Okay, so if you want to fill any of this stuff in, here it is. There's the Old Testament law. God gave Moses the Old Testament law. Better put that blue marker down, I might have a mess. And then we have the cross, Christ on Calvary. And then we have what we call the church age. And then we have, there's another time coming in the future, it's called tribulation. And after that, there's another time coming called the millennial reign or the thousand-year reign of Christ. So, when you're talking about the Ten Commandments and all the commandments that God gave Israel, you got to realize, first of all, he gave it to Israel, right? So they had to have keep these commandments the best they could. The law was given in the Bible, in the New Testament, tells us it wasn't given for salvation. It was given as a schoolmaster, and it was to teach us that how holy God is and how unholy we are. So the law is really, it's a learning tool. It's a schoolmaster. So what they do is they realize they couldn't keep the law, so they'd have to have a regular blood sacrifice. Sacrifices. And it was an innocent animal. Innocent lamb. Or an animal, different animals, but basically the lamb is the picture we want to see here. So they had to make these sacrifices on a regular basis to be right with God. This would make them right for a while, but it didn't take away their sin. So this blood sacrifice, this lamb, and actually God shed the blood of a lamb to cover up Adam's sin. And he gave them the law. They couldn't keep the law. They realized that, so they had to have this blood sacrifice. Well, this blood sacrifice is all pointing to Calvary, where Jesus Christ, John the Baptist said, he's the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. So Jesus Christ dies on Calvary and sheds his blood. So Christ's blood shed on Calvary. This is important for a bunch of different reasons. The difference between this blood and this blood is this blood was an animal. This blood is God's blood. Acts 20:28 talks about the church which God purchased with his blood. So there are some folks out there that don't believe Jesus Christ is God. Well, if he's God, then if he wasn't God, he's still in the grave. He come back out of that grave because he's God. That's the only way he could have. And the only way you could have eternal security, eternal salvation, is through trusting in the blood of Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection. But here's one of the most important things to understand in the Bible, about the Bible. This is called the Old Testament, and this is the New Testament. In Hebrews, it says there can't be a New Testament without the death of the testator. So when Jesus Christ died and shed his blood, there was a New Testament made in his blood. So from this point on, there's a New Testament. So if you got Old Testament, New Testament, they're not the same. Right? I mean, that makes sense. One's called old, one's called new. This Old Testament, they had to try to keep the law. When they realized they couldn't, they had to continually keep sacrificing. So the death of the testator allowed there to be a New Testament, a testament in his blood. And he died, the Bible says he died once for all. So So his death and his blood paid our debt forever. If you accept that, you trust Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. So this was a temporary fix here, for a temporary covering in the Old Testament. This is permanent. It's a New Testament. It's a different Testament. And that's why there's a difference between the Old Testament law, the Old Testament age, and the church age. In the church age, people are saved by grace through faith. Now, let's see here. Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and it not of yourselves, is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Here there's works involved. They had to keep the law, and they had to have that blood atonement, that blood sacrifice on a regular basis. Here, it's all the finished work of Jesus Christ. The only person that ever kept the law was Jesus Christ. He didn't come to get rid of the law, he came to fulfill it. That's what he says. I come not to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law. He fulfilled the law. So for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And that's the problem out there with religion. A lot of religion, most religion, people are saying, I can do good enough. And I don't know about you, but I go home with me at night. I know who I am. Right. Amen? Let's just be honest. We're all sinners. There's something wrong with us. Yeah. Amen? The only one there wasn't anything wrong with is Jesus Christ. And he took the sin debt of the whole world on him right there. And he died once for all, not just for select people. There are a group of people out there that believe that. God died for some people and picked some people to go to heaven, some people to go to hell. It's your choice. It's not God's. God made the choice on Calvary to die for everybody. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So he shed his blood, New Testament. He died once for all. We're under church age, which is called the age of grace. I like to call it the church age because God's grace is always here. If he didn't show Adam grace, he could have just got rid of Adam. He could have got rid of Moses. He could have got rid of everybody in here. It's grace, undeserved favor, all the way through. Matter of fact, it says Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, so there was grace there. But the church age is different than the Old Testament. And, you know, there are groups out there like Seventh-day Adventists that think we're still here. They go to church on Saturday. I seen them yesterday. I didn't realize what church I was passing, but I seen all these cars, and I thought, must be cleanup day. You know? They're going over there cleaning church up before Sunday. And then I realized it was Seventh-day Adventist church. Their church service is on Saturday. Because they think they're keeping the Old Testament law to get to heaven. Well, the Bible says that if you do any work on Saturday, according to the Old Testament law, you're supposed to be stoned to death. So when they got in their car and started their car and drove to church, they were worthy of being stoned to death under the Old Testament law. That's ridiculous. Jesus Christ fulfilled the law. Matter of fact, they were wanting to stone Jesus to death because he healed somebody on Saturday, on the Sabbath. But these were the same ones he said, you hypocrites, if one of you has an ox that falls in the ditch, don't you go get him out of the ditch on Sabbath? But they were actually doing work. He was just doing what God does, healing people, helping people. He was doing good. He asked them, paraphrase here, he was asking whether it was okay to do good or to do evil. He was doing good. He wasn't doing anything wrong. How could he do anything against the law? He made the law. And everything God does is right. So anyway, Old Testament's different than the church age. And the church age, here at the church age, it goes through a spiritual phase, just kind of like Israel. In the Old Testament, Israel would be good for a while, and then they'd be bad, and then they'd be good, and then they'd be bad. And so God finally said, look, if you want to be bad, you want to worship these gods that can't see and can't hear, I'm just going to give you blindness for a while, and I'm going to deal with the Gentiles in the church age. And now Jew and Gentiles are both saved in the church age by trusting Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, it was different. They had had rules to keep, and they had continual sacrifices that had to be made. So now we are at the church age, and the church age is going downhill. I mean, boy, is that an understatement. If you look at where the church was 150 years ago or 70 years ago even, and look where it is now and the beliefs, and everybody, there's so many different beliefs out there, and it's not Bible. It's not biblical beliefs. It's just what man wants to make up. Yeah, and they want to take and twist and pervert what God has said and make it fit what they want it to fit. And most of that is about, well, the love of money is the root of all evil, so there's always money involved in that mess, and it's about power and control. If I were to come in here and I were to preach You got to give to the church or you're going to burn in hell. If you got, you got to do this, you got to do that. You got to, you know, you, if you don't show up Sunday morning, you know, you show up late, you don't show up on time, you don't give to the preacher, you don't, you do this, you don't do that, and give you all these rules that you have to keep, and then maybe you'll make it. I'd be lying to you so I can control you. But the Bible says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Well, Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. So Jesus Christ, the truth. John 17:17, the Bible says, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. So this book is truth. Jesus Christ is truth, and this book is truth. And it's the King James Bible. I could spend a couple, 3 hours easily telling you why that's the right book, but we need to go down that road because I'm not going to use anything else. But the thing is, the truth makes you free. It makes you free from what? It makes you free from sin debt. It makes you free from judgment. It makes you free from religion. See, what Jesus Christ's ministry on this earth was not to the church. His ministry on this earth was to Israel. He was preaching back here in the Old Testament time. Even Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Remember, the death of the testator gives a New Testament, right? He hadn't been crucified in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John until the end. And when he's preaching in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Matthew, Mark, especially Matthew, you see it real heavily. He's talking to the Jews under Old Testament law. And he's telling them they're hypocrites. He's telling them that they're dead, full of dead men's bones. He's telling them they're wicked. He told them they're children of the devil. These are the religious crowd, the Jews, the cream of the crop religious Jews of the time. He told them they're children of the devil. You get to this side of the cross after the crucifixion, death, burial, and resurrection, and he's telling us all that we're a mess and we need him, and the only hope we have is calling on him. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So the Bible says in Romans 3:23, we're all sinners. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So we believe you're a sinner, believe he died for your sins, believe you deserve to burn in hell, but he paid your sin debt. You believe that he died, was buried, and rose again, shed his blood, and you call on him, ask him to forgive you and save you, you're going to heaven. That's it. You don't ever have to come back. You know what I mean? That's the thing. What's that, brother? Yeah, I mean, the whole religious system that man has set up is about money and control. I tell people all the time, I'll talk to them on the street, talk to them at Walmart, talk to them, you don't have to go to church to get to heaven. I want people to go to church. I think people should go to church. But you don't have to go to church to get to heaven. You got to go to Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ was crucified, there was a thief on each side of him. And one of those thieves looked at him and said, Lord, remember me when thou enterest into thy kingdom. And he said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. That thief could not go to Joel Osteen's church. He couldn't give any money to anybody. He couldn't do any good works. He couldn't be baptized. All he could do is turn to Jesus Christ and ask him to forgive him and save him, trust him for Savior. And he did that. That's all he could do, and that's all he did. That's all we can do. So here in the church age, I believe we're up here at the end. He's getting ready. God's finishing up with the church age. And 1 Corinthians 15 and 1 Thessalonians 4, we got what we call the rapture, where the church leaves. Saved people are out of here. Tribulation is a time where God turns back to the Jews and he's dealing with Israel. So tribulation time. The Bible calls it a time of Jacob's troubles. Jacob is Israel. So God's turning back to Israel. And then after a while, 7-year period, Jesus Christ comes back and fights the battle of Armageddon. It's either 2 G's or 2 D's, I don't remember, but one of those. He comes back, fights the battle of Armageddon, cast the beast and the false prophet. We got the devil. We got a three-part Antichrist on this earth, the beast, the false prophet, and the full-blown Antichrist. He cast the beast and the false prophet into a lake of fire. He binds the devil for 1,000 years, and Jesus Christ actually literally rules and reigns on this earth for 1,000 years. And that's all over the Bible. I mean, a lot of people say, well, Jesus isn't going to literally rule and reign here for 1,000 years. I mean, he told his disciples, they asked him how to pray. He said, pray this way. He said, pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And they prayed that. They prayed that over here before the cross. They were praying that right around this time. Well, guess what? His kingdom is going to come in earth as it is in heaven. Why would he ask him to pray a prayer that he wasn't going to answer? I mean, we can pray prayers that he maybe doesn't answer, or he answers the way we don't want to, or maybe sometimes not answering is the answer. But when he himself says to pray this prayer, why would he say it if it wasn't going to happen? And plus, in the book of Revelation, we can see several different places that Jesus Christ rules and reigns on this earth for 1,000 years. And the Old Testament, two-thirds of the Bible, points to Jesus Christ ruling and reigning on this earth for 1,000 years. So the Battle of Armageddon, 1,000-year reign of Christ. And then Satan's bound for a season. He's bound for 1,000 years through this period. Then the Lord lets him loose, and he comes up here after 1,000 years of perfect rule. And Satan comes up here, and he gets the kingdoms of the earth together against God and against Israel and against Jerusalem. And we have what's called the Battle of Gog and Magog. All these folks get together against the Lord. And God sends fire down from heaven and destroys them. It's over. Then we have what they call the time of white throne judgment. I'm going to draw an H for a chair. I can't draw a throne. I'm not artistically inclined at all. The H is probably past my pay grade there. But there's a white throne judgment. It's called the Great White Throne Judgment. And it's not judging the people from the church age. It's judging people that have tried to get to heaven by their works. And it says if their name's not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, they're cast into a lake of fire forever. Then it says the last thing he does is cast death and hell into the lake of fire, so that's over with. And then new heaven, new earth, on into eternity. So here's the thing. When you're reading in the New Testament, and you're before the crucifixion, and things don't sound like you're saved and sealed, it's because he's talking to people back here. People that died back here didn't go to heaven. They went to the center of the earth, to Abraham's bosom. And then, after the crucifixion, they were taken out of there. Jesus Christ preached to captivity captive and led them out of there. The Old Testament saints were safe if they kept the law and satisfied God through these sacrifices. They weren't saved. They were saved when they come out of there, and they were saved differently than we are because they had works involved. This definitely works involved here because they had the Old Testament law. They had to keep it, and they had to make sacrifices when they didn't. They were making the sacrifices. God makes a sacrifice here and tells us it's not of works for the church. So when you're reading in Matthew and it's talking about enduring to the end and shall be saved, it's talking about people. Actually, most of the time it's talking about people here, because when the tribulation comes, the church age is over with. They go back under a works type setup. And if they take the mark of the beast and worship the beast, they're going to hell. They're not going to make it. And if they don't, most of the Gentiles will be beheaded. Some of the Jews will head to the mountains, and God will take care of them and bring them on into the 1,000-year reign. But there's works involved. There's works here, and there's Old Testament works system set up here. This is by grace through faith. The church age is totally different. And there's a reason it's different. He's dealing with the Jews here, he's dealing with the Jews here, and he's dealing with primarily the Jews here. Right here, he's dealing with anybody that'll come to Jesus Christ. So the Jews reject him, so he says, I'll go to anybody that'll come to me. And the reason, one of the reasons he did that is because when Jesus Christ was preaching on this earth to the Jews and they were rejecting him, he had Gentiles coming up to him wanting him. He had one woman come up and said, heal my daughter. And he said, it's not me to cast the children's food to the dogs? And she said, yea, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And he said, wow. He said, great is your faith. I've not seen so great a faith, no, not in all Israel. He told a couple different people different ways there. So he's saying, the Jews, he's coming to them and they're rejecting him, and the Gentiles are coming to him. And he says, I like that. So we have the church age, and anybody that'll come to him, he'll save. But it's not the Old Testament law. Different deal. It's not the tribulation. Different deal. It's not the millennial reign. Different deal. This here is the opportunity to get saved by trusting Jesus Christ only. Works, works, works involved. Plus faith, plus grace. You know, no, faith here, it's not really faith, because faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And Jesus Christ, God will be seen. He'll be sitting on the throne on this earth. They'll see him. So the faith is not an issue here. But it will be works. That was definitely works. This is definitely going to be works. If they do things and don't do things, they're going to be in trouble. But here, it's all grace. All grace through faith. So that's the difference. And when you're reading the Bible, still it gets confusing in the Old Testament when you're reading Zechariah, Zephaniah, and stuff, to where it all plugs in. But usually in the Old Testament where it's confusing and it's talking about the day of the Lord, the day of Christ, and stuff like that, it's talking about here, here, or here. Somewhere after the church age. And like I said, probably over half, maybe two-thirds of your Bible is written about this, thousand-year reign of Christ, and these two battles, the Battle of Armageddon, the Battle of Gog and Magog. And so when you start reading through here, I wish somebody had told me this when I first got saved, first started reading the Bible, because I was reading that Bible going, man, this, I don't know what to do with some of this, you know. But you see that study to show thyself approved, rightly dividing verse, you go, hey, there's divisions. And there's a basic divisions. Old Testament, church age, tribulation time, thousand-year reign. Does that make sense? Does that clear anything up for anybody? It sure clears things up for me, a lot of it. Now, I don't know everything about that book. Only God does. But I do know this. I'm not saved the same way they were here. I'm not going to the center of the earth to be in a holding pattern like some churches would like you to believe, so they can get your money and get you to pray for, you know, go have a service and pay the preacher, the priest, or whoever, and try to get you out of there. Jesus Christ already got me out of there. So it's control. I'm not under the control of any man as far as my spiritual being. I belong to Jesus Christ because I called on him and trusted him. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So, and a lot of people don't believe that. There are a lot of people who go to church every week, they don't believe this. I don't know what you do with that book if you don't believe this. I don't know how you can look at that and read that and say, well, it was the same here as it is here, as it is here, as it is here, because it doesn't make sense. Matter of fact, in the Old Testament, David said, Lord, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Here it says you're sealed with the Holy Spirit, and he'll never leave you or forsake you. So David was worried about losing something that you can't lose here. I'll tell you, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, that's the most attacked verse in the Bible. And it's attacked by evolutionists, it's attacked by science, falsely so-called, and they want you to believe that everything come from nothing. You got to have some gaps between your ears to believe that everything come from nothing. I mean, you ever took nothing and made anything out of it? I've took something and made it into nothing. I like to do a little woodworking now and then, very little. But I can take something and turn it into nothing, but I have never been able to take nothing and turn it into something. The thing is, if you believe that, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, everything else is pretty easy to believe. If God can speak this stuff into existence, and God's in control ultimately, and God is the one that makes all the eternal decisions ultimately, other than your choice of whether you trust Christ, then seeing him come back in Armageddon and win this battle, seeing him at Gog and Magog call down fire, not a big deal. Seeing him come back out of that grave is not, it's not an unbelievable thing. Matter of fact, this gets a little into some heavier stuff, but halfway through this tribulation time, the devil's going to do the same thing. The man of sin is going to be killed, and he's going to come back the third day, and people are going to go, wow, that's God. And it's really going to be the devil. And then the true Israelites, the true Jews that are in this time, they're going to realize by reading the Old Testament and reading the New Testament that they got the wrong guy, and they're going to head for the hills. That's where some of this stuff, you hear that in the Westerns and stuff, that's where stuff comes from, these Bible words, head for the hills. God tells them to flee to the mountains, either in Judea, flee to the mountains, and he's going to take care of them in a time where they can't buy, sell, or trade for not taking the mark of the beast. Isn't that something? You know, and then we have some things where people say, well, the church is going into tribulation. Got a problem there. You're sealed, you can't lose your salvation. If you trust Jesus Christ and call on Him today, you can't lose your salvation. What happens if you go into tribulation and take the mark of the beast as a saved person? Then you lose your salvation. You think all the church is going to be able to withstand that if they went in there? I guarantee you they wouldn't. Right? So why would God even allow you to go in there and chance losing something? He says you can't lose here. Another thing is the Bible says that the church is the body of Christ and the bride of Christ. What kind of a man would let his bride go through that? Because if, I don't know if you read about the tribulation time, but I mean, you got some crazy stuff going on in there. I mean, we're talking about things coming up out of the bottomless pit with tails like scorpions stinging men for 5 months straight, and they were looking for death, couldn't find it, stuff like that. Yeah, all those devil things there. And, you know, if I knew that was coming, I wouldn't let my bride go through it. And neither will God. Neither will God. Matter of fact, He didn't want Israel to go through it. They kept rejecting Him. Of course, in the church age saints, He doesn't want us to go through a lot of stuff that we go through, too. Some things He does because He wants us to learn more like Him, to be more like Him. But some things people go through just because they won't get right with God. But this is a time for Jacob's troubles, time for, appointed to Daniel's people, when Daniel was a Jew, right there, seven-year period, 1,000-year reign of Christ, perfect rule and reign, and then the devil's still able to talk the world into going against God. And what this shows is it's not all the devil. It's man's free will, because for 1,000 years they had a perfect leader, and just a short period of time the devil's still able to turn them the wrong way. Because you know, we got a problem. We're a mess without Jesus Christ. So anyway, I hope that helps. And, I don't know. That's a lot of chicken scratch up there. I hope that helped. Basically, that study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed of rightly dividing the word of truth, right divisions, Old Testament, church age, tribulation, 1,000-year reign, on into eternity. Praise the Lord.